In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us. It is so exciting to be drawn into this reality so that we can spend time in this wonderful conversation about how reality works and how to leverage universal forces and how to make things easy for you and how to have fun and enjoy yourself and explore what you came here to explore without worrying about any other distractions, without worrying about what people will think, what you should or should not be doing, what society thinks is appropriate for you, what the rules are. Why not break the rules? Why not do whatever you want to do? Because there are no rules when it comes to your specific exploration of this reality. All the rules that have ever been made from the history of time until now do not apply to you. Because if they did, if they applied to you and prevented you from exploring reality as you chose, well, that wouldn't work, would it? In a limitless environment of physical reality, you can literally be, have, and do anything you want. And if rules are going to stop you, then that would make reality not work the way you think it should work. So the rules don't apply to you. You can break the rules. You can do things your own way. You can do things differently than anyone's ever done before. You can blaze new trails and think of new stuff and decide to be who you want to be in this moment. It could be completely different from who you've been your entire life. You can decide right now, I want this. I want this style. I want this approach to life. I want to do something new. I want to do something bigger and bolder. Oh, but the rules say that I have to do this first. I have to get an education. I have to get a degree. I have to get a certificate. I have to get permission. I have to get the equipment. I have to get the stuff. I have to get all the stuff before I can do it. And we say, no, you don't. You don't need any of that. Everything you need to explore reality as you decide to explore it is available to you right now. You can do anything you want right now. You have everything you need right now. All you need to do is have faith that everything's going to work out for you. Because as a limitless being, as an eternal spirit, as this aligned being who is vibrationally tuned to this moment, to this position on earth at this time, to physical reality, you have everything you need. You have, it's all within you. And so your journey is one of discovery, finding out what it is, finding out what excites you, finding out what is interesting, finding your passions, moving forward, allowing yourself to blossom, allowing your inner gifts to come through. That's all this is, and it's all waiting for you. It's all there. The only limitations you have are not imposed by society, are not imposed by your friends and family, are not imposed by the government, are not imposed by anyone else but you. And those limitations are false. They are based on beliefs that do not serve you. You are a limitless being. Believe that. Show yourself that. Don't conform to what you think is right. Move beyond what you think is right. Move beyond what you think other people will think about you. And move to what drives you. Find that thing that drives you. Find that interest. Pull on the string of that interest. Keep pulling and pulling and pulling on that string. Go wherever you want to go. Research whatever you want to research. Read whatever you want to read. Watch whatever you want to watch. Feel good, and you will be inspired to the next step of the next step of the next step of the next step. And with that, we would love to see where you're all heading right now. Who wants to start?
I have a question.
Excellent.
I can't seem to accept the parts of me that I don't like. It's coming up like every couple of weeks. It's the same thing. I can't figure out how to accept myself.
Excellent. Okay. Is there such a thing as wrong?
I know there isn't, but it feels wrong.
How does it feel wrong?
It feels like I am. It feels bad, like I should be different.
What is that feeling telling you?
That it's a limiting belief, that it's, the belief is wrong.
And it's telling you that your inner self doesn't see it that way, because your inner self is looking at you from a higher perspective. So the aspect of you that you choose to believe is wrong, based on what beliefs you adopted along your way, based on the trajectory that you chose before you were born, your inner self is saying, that's a limiting belief. You're aware that that's a limiting belief, aren't you?
Yes, but I can't go from knowing it theoretically to feeling and believing it. I can't believe it.
But you have the first step. You have the first step. You say, if I'm going to believe all this crap that's coming from Joshua, that's coming from all these other sources, that's coming from inside me, myself, if I'm going to believe all this stuff, then I believe that a part of me that sees the bigger picture does not believe that any of those aspects of myself are wrong or bad. So there you have it. You have this idea here. You have this philosophy for life, this law of attraction, universal laws, forces, this physical reality compared to non-physical reality. You have this study, these teachings. So from a theoretical point of view, you know that from another perspective, you could even say from your mother's perspective, or from your best friend's perspective, or from those people listening to this right now who know you, none of them believe that these aspects of you are wrong. Only you do. So that tells you something, doesn't it?
But I can't know that no one else thinks it's wrong. What if they do? They could.
Give us a specific example of one minor thing you think is wrong.
I don't enjoy the same things that everyone else enjoy.
I say stupid things.
I talk too much or I talk too little.
Okay.
I'm weird.
Good, you're weird. Everyone's weird. Every single one's weird. Everyone's unique, so everyone's weird. There is no normal. No, anyone who's acting normal is acting. Anyone who is being normal is doing it to control others. Anyone who is trying to fit in is not being who they authentically are. You are authentic. You cannot conform, can you? You try to conform, it doesn't even work. It's impossible. You can't conform. You can't be normal. You can't be like everyone else. You are unique. And that uniqueness is your superpower. It's going to come forward at some time. Whether you allow it to come forward now or allow it to come forward next year or next year or next year, it's coming through. You can try and contain it and bottle it up thinking it's wrong, but that's like Superman thinking it's wrong to see through buildings or leap tall buildings.
Right? But I don't understand how to go from knowing this theory to feeling it and living it and believing it, because it's like we've been going over this for almost 2 years now, and it just doesn't – I can't figure it out. I don't believe it.
What are you interested in?
Nothing much.
If you were interested in something, what would it be?
Traveling, maybe.
Traveling, excellent. Are you interested in this conversation?
I'm interested in getting rid of this pain.
So the pain is this idea that something's wrong with you.
Yes.
And if you got rid of the pain, that would mean that nothing's wrong with you.
It would just be relief from the pain. It doesn't really mean anything, I guess, because it just changes. It doesn't change me. It just changes how I think.
if you saw yourself as someone who spoke the perfect words all the time, not too much, not too little, said everything right, would the pain go away?
No, because there's so many things that's wrong with me.
Would the pain on that one specific topic?
Yes.
Okay. So the only one who can determine if you say too much or too little is who?
Me.
Right. So the only way the pain's going to go away, it's not going to go away with a magic wand. It's not going to go away with drugs. It's not going to go away with anything outside of you. The only way it'll ever go away is when you decide that in this one topic that what you say is appropriate. Now, you are the one who's making up whether it's appropriate or not. No one's telling you it's inappropriate. No one says, you said 15 too many words today. You said 15 too many words yesterday. You said 15 too few words the day before that. No one's telling you these things. No one's writing a report. No one's sending it to the government. It's all coming from within you. Every single other human being on earth does the same thing you're doing to some extent, whether or not it's that topic or another topic, right? Every single other person on this earth is the same in some regard to that. Those who are able to live without the pain are those ones who say, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if I said too many words or too little words. It's all right. It's all perfect. Because there is no wrong. Because if I'm inspired to say too many words, then that is the benefit of me. That I'm actually doing it. While other people will not even engage, will not even be there. I'm actually saying too many words. I'm actually the one saying too few words. I'm the one who is allowing myself to talk too much or too little. While the other people won't even show up in the conversation. They won't say anything at all. Do you understand that? That what you are inspired to say is perfect always. Because the other perfect person is the receiver of those things you said. And if they need to hear it, they need to hear it. And if it causes them to feel emotional pain from something you said, well, that is a good thing too, because it allows them to see their own limiting beliefs. You're not here to tiptoe around to make sure everyone feels good. You are here to explore reality as you came to explore it. This is your aspirational reality, by the way. This is the thing, to be so powerful, so unique, and feel so out of place, and to figure out how to get back into place, and to figure out that everything you specifically do, Astrid, is perfect. Everything you do is perfect. Every single thing you do. And if you could do it more, it would just be so much more expansive. And that's true of all of you. Be more, not less. You're all limiting yourselves. This is a exploration of limitation, if it's anything at all. You are exploring your limitations, and all your limitations are self-imposed, every single one of them. And this idea, in this one tiny aspect, that you talk too much or too little, is a limitation based on tons of references, tons of things you learned as a child, tons of social cues, tons of mores from your specific culture. The fact that you hang out regularly with Americans and you went to school in America so you could see the difference between the two cultures, that's rare. And you did that.
Well, I have a second question.
Oh, we're so happy we totally answered your first question. To your satisfaction.
Okay, so if I intended to channel... If I intended that before I came into this life, if that's part of my purpose, how come it's so freaking hard for me? How come I don't see images or get specific names or specific messages or see angels or whatever like other people do? Why isn't it more specific and clear and easier like it is for the other people who channel?
When you were a baby, did you start off running, jumping, doing the high hurdles? Or did you start off teetering around, getting your balance, trying not to hurt yourself? You've only been doing this for a little while.
Well, other people haven't been doing it for that long either, and they get Isabel gets more specific messages. She hasn't been doing it for 10 years. What's the point?
Messages,
why can't I get more?
You get messages unique to you that only can come through you, and those messages are very powerful.
Mm.
Very powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. And the way that you present it is unique. And the uniqueness that is you makes it more powerful. And the way that you have of translating the very ethereal and subtle thoughts into sharp, focused content that people can absorb easily is unlike anything else on Earth. There is no one like you. There is no one that you can compare yourself with. You are absolutely unique. You are more clear, more concise, more powerful, more engaging, not just in writing, but in speaking as well, in your being as well.
But why can't I have more?
You can have more. Just do it more. Just be more. Just decide that you want more. Just engage more. Just lean into it. If you want to be more, be more. Are you writing every single day? Are you spending hours talking to other people? Be more, 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 and you'll get it, and it'll come faster. Gary's the same exact way as you. This is the first time of all these Joshua lives where Gary didn't stay home in the house and prepare by meditating and doing Joshua answers and being quiet and not engaging with other people. He went out and did stuff this morning. He was very busy. He rushed home, got down, sat in his chair, and started channeling us. And that's the first time ever. Now, that's 5 years. We're talking 5 years. Gary doesn't get clear pictures at all. Gary has no idea what we're going to say when we sit down and start talking. He gets nervous coming to do this. He feels relieved when it's over because he has no idea what's going to say, if it's going to come out, if it's going to be ridiculous or smart. But it always turns out fine, doesn't it? It always turns out perfectly. There's never an issue. There is no reason to be fearful of anything. He doesn't have to worry about how he's judged or who cares. He keeps himself very small, Astrid. In this genre of what we're talking about here, he keeps things small. He is just as limited as you are. And he's exploring the same limitations that you are. And he has a level of confidence because he's been around a bit longer and he's done a lot of things, but it's still in this area. It's still new. He doesn't get anything specific. He's always defending himself and what other people say in his head. Right? So don't think you're unusual. Think you have similar fears, similar limitations as everyone else, and everyone else is dealing with them as best they can. But no one's going to come down and say, we remove the limitations from you, because that's your exploration. You're going to find out how to do it. You're going to find out how to be more comfortable, and your confidence is going to grow and grow and grow. And that's just your decision to see yourself as okay in this one little area. Are there any areas where you think you're okay?
Yes, I can read fine. I can write fine. I'm okay at watching TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do those things. I can walk. I've got fingers and toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got hair. Some people don't have hair.
I've got a complete nose. Yes.
Well, you have a lot of good features. Now, why in the world do you think you can write and read and watch TV so well?
Everyone can do that.
No, that is incorrect. We disagree with you. Everyone could do it, but not everyone is as less limited in that area as you are.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
So there are aspects of yourself that you're okay with and aspects of yourself that you are critical of. And there's no difference between the two because you are as capable of writing as you are because you have fewer limiting beliefs in that area. And if you choose to do the work to say, I feel negative emotion, therefore I know that my inner self is seeing my life from a higher perspective and does not believe the same things that I believe. This limiting belief, what is it? That I speak too little or too much. that people will be offended by what I say, that I should be different than I am. Is that true? Well, we know for certain it's not true. It's not true because there is no wrong. If you're inspired to say something, it's perfect. You cannot be any more perfect than you are. You were born perfect. You are perfect when you're 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. You're perfect now. You can expand, but you can't get any better. You can criticize yourself all you want. It doesn't matter. You can criticize, but that criticism will never help you be better because you can't get better. You can think you're the best person in the world, and then you're going to see yourself from a higher perspective. And as you see yourself from a higher perspective, things get a little easier. When you are 90 years old, looking back on this time in your life, you will absolutely say to yourself, why did I care? Why did I think it was such a big deal? You will absolutely, when you transition to non-physical, you will absolutely look back and say, wow, I had a lot of limitations. I did not need to have those. Those did not serve me in any way. There is no benefit to holding those up. There is no benefit to being seen, feeling as if I was less than perfect. There is no benefit to any of you to see yourselves as less than perfect. If you think that you're not perfect, well, that's because someone else told you that. If you see yourself as perfect and expanding and working through some limiting beliefs and doing the process of exploration as you chose to do, then you will start to feel a little better. And when you feel better, you'll have that inspiration. And if that inspiration is to channel, then you can sit down and channel. But don't be defined by anything you do. Just understand that you're perfect. You're always perfect. There's no way to define who you are because you're limitless and beyond definition. Yes, every single person will harbor some limiting beliefs. And every single person will gradually lessen the intensity of those limiting beliefs as they age naturally. As they see things from a different perspective, age, they will gradually. But you can do all that work right now. The work is to find the limiting belief, to write it down, to point out the fact that it's not true, and find evidence it's not true. So thank you, Astrid. Astrid, we will tell you that your channeling, which does not reflect upon you at all, is at a level that's never been seen before.
Agreed.
Who's next?
Well, Joshua, I want to add on to what Astrid was talking about. So we continually have these, same issues. My issue of control, loss of love, it keeps popping up. Is that just how life is going to be? Is that just how it is? I should just be like, oh, here it is again, and just keep moving. Physical reality is dense. And sometimes it's exhausting when the same shit just keeps popping up over and over and over.
How about if it wasn't shit, though?
Just looking at it from a different perspective, like, okay, this is just an opportunity to grow?
Well, what's the difference between spending a week with your kids and going through a manifestation event? The only difference is that you say to yourself, in judgment, I judge this as good and I judge that as bad. But since both things are exactly the same, there is no hierarchy of which is inherently good or bad. Everything is neutral. You choose, for some reason, you choose to say, being with my kids is great, and going through a manifestation event is bad. Choosing to enjoy a perspective that is in agreement with my inner self is good. That's with your kids. But choosing to take the limited perspective on some event and feel negative emotion because your inner self says, no, that's not a negative event. That's a really, really, really important good event because it's helping you understand this message of control. And if you can get over this idea of control, if you can, that you chose to get here and find out and do all the work that you're doing right now, that you chose to get taken, led step by step by step by step till you're right here, right now, in this conversation, to be an example to all the people who are listening to this and whoever who will all listen to this in the future, you are getting the benefit of this exploration. But your focus is that this one side is good and this other side is bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's different. Right. So, yes, no, It doesn't get done because you don't want it to get done. This is what you came for. It's like saying, when will I finally get done with my kids? You know, you don't want to get that done either. You want to explore this relationship with your children because that's what one of the aspects of reality you came to seek. And so you explore it with them, and you enjoy it, and you're having fun. And you every time you get together with them, it's another day later, another hour later, another week later, another perspective. So you see yourself and them from a new perspective, and something new always comes up. Some new fun thing, some new challenging thing. It's never, ever ending with your kids, and it's never, ever, ever going to be ending with this idea of control. You're going to expand and see yourself differently as you see the idea of control differently, because you didn't realize that putting on a smiley face was control, but you know it now, right? So you'll get more nuanced aspects of control because this is one of the things you came to explore. So welcome it every time. Instead, the only problem with resistance is the resistance. If you gave into it, well, then there'd be no resistance. Mm. Right? So if someone broke into your car, you forgot your purse in there, and they stole $300, what would you think?
No big deal.
Nobody
was hurt.
Right?
It's fine. Yeah.
Right. Fine. Yes. But there's a lot of people that would think that's a big deal. There's a lot of people that would go on and on and on and on and do all kinds of things and resist it, resist it, resist it, resist it, resist it. Instead of saying, no big deal, needed a new purse, hope they needed the money more than I did, I have lots of money, it'll come again, no big deal. You see, that's the allowing approach to life. And in that approach to life, the only difference is that you, one, don't feel negative emotion, and two, are more open to inspiration because you tend to be in alignment more often.
Right.
But you don't get a reward other than that, which is the most amazing reward.
That's a good reward, yeah.
The reward isn't that you'll never, have a migraine, you'll never encounter negative emotion, you'll never have to... you'll never graduate. That's the reward, right? That's what you tend to think. Okay, I endure school. I endure it, endure it, endure it. One day this shit will be over, right? And then you graduate, but the learning's never over. It's just the grading that's over. The judgment's over. That's all it's over. And you're grading and judging yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. So stop doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's just all momentum and all conditioning from past and
But you're exploring more nuanced aspects now. You're not exploring the same old stuff you did 2 years ago. You're getting newer stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's like climbing a mountain and thinking the goal is to reach the peak, rather than understanding that the only reason you're climbing the mountain is because you're a climber. And that's what you do. And it's fun to do it, and the views are gorgeous, and it's challenging, and you have all the equipment right there. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. It's me, Letta.
Hi, Letta.
Hi. I don't like to drive my car.
Get in the back seat. Let someone else be driving.
Yeah.
Look at the view.
But I keep my car because I don't want to, I want to be able to drive if necessary. And then I went every Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning when it's quiet for 20 minutes to drive and to keep my battery okay. And then the universe sent a manifestation event in the form of my mom, who had to go to bridge afternoons, and she forgot to go. So as a solution, I took her every Wednesday afternoon to bridge, which meant I had to go to the city center and go to traffic at lunch hour and bring her there. And that was okay. And then she quit the bridge, and I went back to driving on Sundays only. And then I went to the animal shelter, which was a bit of a longer drive, and I got used to it, and it was fine, and I enjoyed the animal shelter, and then it closed down. It was going to move 28 kilometers away. This means that I have to take the highway or the freeway, whatever. And I've done it 4 times now, 2 times to the shelter and 2 times back home. I managed to get angry with my navigation system, but I got there. So I understand that I need to drive more, or that there's something going on with this, because I could have opted out of the animal shelter volunteer work, say it's too far away for me, but I enjoy it so much and I don't want to give up. But I don't like the car, the longer drive it involves. So what now? What is happening here?
Why don't you like it? What specifically do you not like?
Maybe because I'm the one in control in the car and anything that happens is my mistake. And I'm bad at parking.
Okay. So let's say that bad things could happen.
Yes.
Okay. If you're going to say that bad things could happen, then you're going to say that I am a victim. I am a victim to bad things happening. I am not the creator of my reality. I'm the victim of accidents, bad luck, bad timing, all these things. I am not giving off a vibration and getting a perfect match to what I'm vibrating. I'm giving off a vibration and then random things are happening that are completely different than what I'm giving off my vibration. So that's simply your choice. You can believe that you're the creator of the reality, of your reality, that you emit a certain vibration, and that everything that comes to you is a match to that vibration. And that since you're a being of love, that everything that comes to you is also based in love, which means that everything that happens while you're driving a car is a reflection of who you're being. And it allows you to see how you're operating in this reality. If something happens to you, it is for your benefit. So are you a victim or are you a creator of your reality?
No, I'm a creator of my reality.
Okay.
And
so,
without you, I would never have done this.
Right. So the old approach to life says, I have to be careful. I have to be safe. I have to protect myself. Bad things can happen. People can take advantage of me. I might get in trouble. I might break a rule. I might ding a fender. I might scratch something. There might be a problem. I might have consequences of my actions. As you are learning now, that if anything happened, it happens because you have something in your vibration that attracted it. Now, let's imagine for a moment that you're driving along and you're in a hurry and you're worried about the busyness of the highway and it seems too immense for you, and then you get a flat tire. Okay. So now you get a flat tire, you pull off to the side of the road, and you might think, this is a bad thing that happened to me. I should have checked my tires. I should have better tires than I have now. The roads shouldn't be full of nails. Someone should come and clean the roads. Why is this happening to me? Things should be different than they are, right? But what's happening is that there's something in your vibration that says, I am afraid of this traffic. And here you are, pulled over on the side of the road with all these cars going by you, zoom, 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 and you're going to have to figure out what to do next. And so you may change your own tire. And by the time you've changed the tire, 10,000 cars has passed you. And now you're no longer so afraid of traffic. Well, that's a benefit for you because now you go into traffic and it's no big deal. I changed a tire, or a tow truck pulled over, or some friendly man came to assist you, or something happened. But the limiting belief that bad things can happen on the freeway, which causes you this fear, that causes you to perceive that there's some danger on the freeway where there isn't any at all for you because it's not a match to your vibration, right? Because you're creating the reality that's all good for you, that now you go in this more empowered outlook on driving on the freeway. More confidence. You feel more secure. And now the 20-minute drive is no big deal to you as it was before. Mm-hmm. And you look back and say, what was I afraid of all this time? Now, this is just one example, but everything in your life is the same thing. It could be talking to strangers. It could be the time you walked up to the animal shelter and you thought, what are they going to think of this person coming in to want them to help? And from this perspective that you have now, many months later, you say, of course they wanted people to come in to help. That's the whole point of it, right? But yeah. Just these fears, thinking that what's the worst that could happen? So instead of saying what's the worst could happen, say, it's no big deal. Everything's going to work out. It's going to be fine. I'll just stick in my little lane here, and within 20 minutes, I'll be at my destination. No big deal. It's all going to be fine. I'm the creator of my reality. Nothing bad can happen. If something, some event pops up, I know it's for me to outline something that I've been, you know, resisting. And in this approach of, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. Nothing bad can happen. I'm the creator of my reality. I'm going to be easy about this. I'm just going to enjoy the drive. And in that drive, I'll listen to a podcast. I'll listen to some music. I'll work on my vibration. I'll work on my mood. I'll set my intentions for what's going to happen today. That sort of thing. There is no danger. There is nothing to be afraid of. It's all made up. It's all self-imposed limitations. And you can do the work to reduce the intensity of these limiting beliefs. Little by little by little. And then you'll find yourself driving your mother. And then you'll find yourself driving to the shelter. And then you're finding yourself driving a little bit longer to the shelter. And then you're going to find yourself taking a road trip on the weekend. Yeah. And then you're going to find someone who wants to go with you. And then you're going to have these adventures on the weekend. And then you're going to explore the entire continent that you live on.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing yourself to expand. You're allowing yourself to have more ideas. What's possible now? What's possible now? You have true desires that are coming through because you're seeing yourself from a higher perspective. And they probably have to do with traveling around.
Yeah. Okay, good then.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Who's next? Well, this has been a pleasure.
Come on, people.
I'll go. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Joshua. So speaking of Alette's experience with the traveling in the car, I still have this looming move or whatever it is, and I'm doing my best to not really think about it much, because I'm really scared that my beliefs and my just how I see things around me, it might interfere with, in my mind, it somehow interferes with what could happen or just trying to define it and
okay.
How it's going to be.
Excellent.
But every morning I wake up, or I have been for a couple weeks now, with this sensation in my stomach, my abdomen that's just like I'm sitting with it, and it's just making it all uncomfortable, scary, unsure if it's even the right thing. Not the right thing, it is whatever. What is or what is it?
Okay. What's the impending danger that you see?
That I'm gonna start moving somewhere. Mm-hmm. So like not moving but going somewhere, and then be like, where am I going?
Good. Be that way. That's exactly how you should be. Be that way. Just take the first step and then go, where am I going? What's happening next? Right? If you could live life with that exact approach, everything you truly want in this world would magically unfold. The only problem with what you're doing now is that you think you should know where the roller coaster goes.
You want the roller coaster
to go perfectly straight at about 5 miles an hour. And that would be the most boring roller coaster ride in the history of roller coaster rides. Right? That is not what you want in a roller coaster ride. You want the fun, excitement. I'm just going to get on the ride and see where it takes me. And that there is no safer roller coaster ride. There is no way anything bad can happen to you. There are things that are just going to pop up and show you what you're afraid of, show you what you're worried about, show you what your limiting belief is. But if you say to yourself, if that happens, I'll figure it out. If that happens, I'll call a friend. If that happens, it's no big deal. It's going to be an adventure. I am in this for the adventure. I'm expanding rapidly to a new level of living in reality. I am aware of how this reality works now. I am aware of myself as a limitless being, a magnificent being, pure positive, love, and accepting being. That's who you are. As you're aware of this fact that you're perfect as you are now, you're going to naturally start to get inspiration for things, to get offered things, to get ideas, to get people to call you, to get things happening for you. But you can't know what they're going to be. You don't know who's going to be on the phone call tomorrow. You don't know what that phone call is going to be. You don't need to know any of this stuff. Just do the first thing. So what's the first thing that you can do?
I'm making plans for packing things and getting rid of things.
Right. That's what you do. You just say, I don't need this.
Or I'm doing that.
I'll put this in storage. I'll give this to so-and-so. That's all I need to do right now. Right? When are you going to move? What's the date? Do you have a date?
August 18th.
Okay. So from now to August 18th, you have a month. From now to August 18th, you have 1 month. What can you do in 1 month? Without planning, what can you do? You can meditate.
Well, yes.
You can work on making things easier on yourself so that you don't have to stress out.
Yes.
Right? Work on mentally on what do I appreciate? What am I grateful for? What are my positive attributes? What wonderful thing could happen? You know, what do I need to take care of just today? Just today. What could I take care of today? Those are all the things you have to do. And then the 18th comes up, and then you'll deal with the 18th then. Or maybe you'll deal with it on the 17th, or whatever that is. But don't worry about having to know what's going to happen. Just go with whatever is happening. Nothing is ever happening other than this moment right now. This moment right now, you're in this conversation. You don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to think about anything else. All you have to do is think about this conversation and interact with the people on this call. That's all you ever have to do, and everything will work out. But this idea that you have to plan and strategize and make things happen, well, it just makes you fearful, because the more control you end up placing on yourself, the less you're going to be open to the magic that can happen. The more you're open to the magic that can happen, the more you release the idea of control as a fundamental basis of anything important at all, then you're really engaging the universe, especially if you can keep up with it, if you can keep in alignment and keep happy and keep confident. If you can do those things, just maintain how you feel in a moment. Just feel the fear. That's fine. Think about what those thoughts are coming in as a result of this fear, as a result of this limiting belief that you should have everything, you know, laid out right in front of you and planned perfectly. That's a super limiting belief right there. As a result of that limiting belief, you feel fear if you're not having everything structured. So the lack of structure, you believe, is a negative thing when actually it's a positive thing. The lack of control, you believe, is a negative thing when actually it's a positive thing. The idea of control in a reality that's attractive, that's bringing to you, is the antithesis of the system. Because the system is built around no need for control, no possibility of control. The opportunities, this is an abundant reality where the opportunity for any exploration exists. It's infinite in those opportunities. And so to try and control or limit the opportunities goes against the whole foundation of the system. The whole foundation of the system says, live in this moment. Maintain a perspective that allows you to stay in alignment with your inner self. See everything as good. See yourself as good. See everything is working out for you. See that everything, that there is no wrong or bad. Understand that you're going to be shown through this reality who you're being, and you're going to either keep up to speed with that or not. And when you're not up to speed with that, well, you'll know it because you'll feel this negative emotion. That's all the reality is. But you don't have to say, I'm going to live here for 10 years. I'm going to do this job for 10 years. Can you see that if you had said, as someone said to you, we have a house for you to live in free. You have to live in this house for 10 years, but it's totally free. Wouldn't that feel like a prison?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had to do anything, right? But what you're trying to say is, I want things to be easier than they are. But the things are just a reflection of the vibration you're offering. So don't ask for things to be easy. Make things easy by looking at them from another perspective. Look at it from a perspective that, yeah, this is just part of the journey. There's no need to resist this. Everything is working out for me. My exploration of reality is totally different than everyone else's. And this is working out for me. I don't have to compare myself to them or anyone else. And it is suited to me. I am suited for this exploration of reality. I am built for this. You are built for how you're living life right now. You have everything you need. Go ahead.
It doesn't always feel, though, that this is the choice that I would have made. If I had, like, in my mind, my choice.
Thank God. Because if you had made the choice yourself, it would be a straight roller coaster going 5 miles an hour. It would be too easy, too limited, not the expansion you chose. Does that make sense to you? It would not be the expansion you chose. It would be some way to control your fear rather than for you to say, I'm going to take charge of my fear. Not by changing the conditions, but by saying, hey, this feels scary. What's that scary feeling all about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God you can't choose. And so many people choose. But you know what all of them choose? They all choose limited lives. All of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except for the adventurous. Except for the people who are able. Some people are naturally able to control their fear. They naturally have just a little bit more confidence. Lucky them that they had a childhood that allowed them to adopt many fewer limiting beliefs and many more beneficial beliefs. Okay. That's an easy, easy, easy life. That's like the life of a butterfly. You've had lives like that before. You don't need lives like that anymore. Your life gets to be adventurous, gets to be challenging. If it's not challenging, this game's not fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So embrace the challenge, embrace the unknown, and know that you are loved. And just know that you have just these people here to support you, let alone your millions of
guys. You might be knocking on their doors, Joshua.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Thank you.
Arnaud, are you with us?
Hello, yes.
Excellent.
Jump in.
Jump in.
Perfect timing. Right. I'm not actually really sure what I was going to talk about. I've got a few thoughts floating in my head. But going back to what you were saying at the beginning about what is driving us, what we want to explore, there's this, the idea, a bit like Asteroid 2, to the channeling and the communication with non-physical that I've been putting more intention into, I guess.
Excellent. Do you know that when you communicate with non-physical, you will feel this feeling of pure ecstasy and joy? Did you know that? It's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. Not at all. Because, see, doing anything has only one, the way you feel about anything has only to do with one thing. It's your agreement with your inner self or not. When you totally agree with your inner self, when you're having a glass of wine, watching the sunset, talking to a friend, and feeling energized, it's because you totally see your life, your friend, the world, from a perspective that is very close to your inner self's perspective. And that's what the feeling comes from. And if you're channeling and saying, this is great, it's going great, it's fantastic, this is awesome, well then, you're agreeing with your inner self. And if you're like, I should be getting images, I should be getting more clearer pictures, why is it so difficult? It's just out of alignment with how your inner self sees the thing, right? Your inner self is going to say, we have a higher perspective on your life, who you are, what your world is like, and what you're doing right now than you do. That's the only difference. And you can either agree with us or not. We don't care if you do or not. It doesn't matter to us. This is our perspective. We want you to know what that is. And as happy as you are, is as close to us as you can get. And as miserable as you are, is as further away as you can get. And it's your choice, not their choice, right? Thank God for this wonderful system. Do you want to create a reality where you always, always feel great and wonderful? Then choose the higher perspective of your inner self. Super easy to do. But sorry, we interrupted you there. With the most important thing that's ever been said.
I like the challenge I've been enjoying the challenge of encountering negative emotion and the resistance just for the challenge of working with my thoughts and getting to a higher perspective.
That's all you have to do. Isn't it amazing that you have this intellectual understanding of how the system works?
Yeah, I like the feeling of relief that you get when you hit the spot and when you get the frame of mind and the thought that's going. I had a bit of a ha-ha moment like this about the subject of abundance, which has been recurring for me for some time, just a couple of weeks ago. And it's probably a very innocuous thought to anybody, but to me it was a major turning point when I said to myself, I had a thought that said maybe, because I was, without realizing, I had resistance in trying to change myself in the sense that I was getting to the end of every month without any money left, and I had to scrap for. And I just had a thought to myself, maybe all this time I've been living, just having this inherent knowledge that I was being provided for, so I was behaving in a complete alignment with the idea of abundance.
Yes, you were. Can you imagine people who say, I have to limit my experience of life so that I can end the month with an extra $100 in my savings account, right? So why would you do that? If you're receiving everything you need when you need it, then arriving at the end of the month with everything you've done is perfect, whether you have an extra $100 or not. But limiting yourself, thinking that the rules say that we need to put away a certain amount of money, we need to give away a certain amount of money, we need to do this and this and this, we need to worry about our future, we need to, you know, save for a rainy day, we need all these things, right? You are inherently doing the perfect thing. You are living life on your terms, and you received everything you need, but not a penny more. Perfect.
So that's been a major, a good feeling thought, and that's really helped tremendously, I think. But I feel like I'm inspired to. I spent a lot of time. It's been beautiful here in the UK for the past 2 months. Beautiful summer. I spent a lot of time in my garden. It's absolutely blissful. And I'm inspired to meditate a lot. I spend a lot of time just contemplating, and it feels great. But there is something that I almost feel like I'm expecting a sort of knock on the door from my ability, like some sort of conscious exchange, not just and I've had these physical feelings for a while. I mean, that came up during what I was doing my 1-to-1 with you, Joshua, about the sense of pressure that I had in my head, and nothing's really come out of that. And I'm just, I feel like I'm tiptoeing on the edge of something, and I can't quite undo the cork, if you like.
Okay. So you have an inspiration to do what?
Just meditate and just really
and bring forth,
go within and just
bring forth communication from.
Yeah, and just see what and just try to release any resistance.
Are you
that.
Are you meditating every day?
I am. Yeah.
Do you receive thoughts while you meditate?
Sometimes I do. I don't know. Yeah, I have. My mind just sort of wanders. Usually towards the end, I meditate last thing before I go to bed. I don't put a timer that time around. I just sit down and just do whatever. And I reach a stage when I get a sort of feeling of space more and I'm more in. Inside myself, that makes sense. But
here's what we suggest.
Yeah.
When Gary was meditating, he was receiving thoughts as well. And when he was ready, we said, get up and write, write, write. And so he got up, went to his computer, and started writing. But that was in the morning. So it made sense to get up and write in the morning. If you meditate at night and you get inspiration, well, it's going to be very difficult for you to get up and do anything. So why don't we change that timing of your meditation around and see what happens? What if you meditated when you got home from work or after dinner or on Saturday morning when you woke up?
I do that as well. I meditated just before the call this evening when I got back from work. Half an hour and I did the meditation. I very often go, because it's been so beautiful, I go outside in the evening and I just sit in the garden and I meditate for 20 minutes or so.
And are you ever inspired to write?
Sorry?
Are you ever inspired to write?
To write sometimes, yes. I get inspired to write. But
what happens when you write?
It varies. Sometimes if I'm inspired, it just flows in a sort of satisfying way. And I'm often as well.
Do you have
surprised
an attachment?
By what I write.
Do you have an attachment to what the writing means or the outcome?
No, I've learned that lesson. Now. I'm trying to just completely detach myself from any attachment to that.
Here's what we said. We say meditate and write, meditate and write, meditate and write. Become disciplined, meditate and write, meditate and write. You'll find you enjoy it. You'll find you enjoy it. Meditate and write, meditate and write. Try that. Try that for 7 days in a row. Meditate and then write 7 days in a row. And then to see how you feel. Now, we are not saying that you're going to feel great. We are not saying that anything's going to come from this. We are not saying that there is an outcome that you should be looking for. We are saying that there is a discipline that you can get accustomed to. And if you can get accustomed to this discipline and see it from a higher perspective, that you're on this exploration, that you don't know what it is, that you don't know why you're doing it, that it doesn't make any sense, that it might even seem like a waste of time. But then see how you feel when you're doing it. Is it interesting? Is it enjoyable? Does the time go by quickly? See how you feel about that. And then, and without any expectation or judgment of what you're doing, that's a key part here, that you cannot judge what you're doing. that you have to be open to it and allow it to build momentum. And at the end of the 7 days, look back on what you've written and ask yourself, was this process enjoyable? Just enjoyable in the moment. Not what was created out of it, not what does it mean about me, not any of that stuff. Just was the actual process of meditating and then writing, was that possibly blissful? Yeah. Was it blissful? So here's the idea here. The idea is that you can get easily distracted, that you can say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it some other time. You're not giving yourself enough opportunity to focus simply on the writing because there's a lot of judgment built up about it. There's a lot of fear around it. There's a lot of, I want to do it, but what if I can't? I want to do this, but what if it doesn't work? What will people say? What will I think about myself? Will it be any good? Don't worry about any of that. Just worry about sitting down and tapping your fingers on the keys or handwriting in a yellow pad. Not what anything means at all. At the end of the 7 days, then go back and review how you felt while you were doing it. That's how you build momentum towards that which you're inspired to do. We are saying this is an inspiration. This is guidance, in essence, for you specifically. That this is part of what you're here to explore. And you're tending to find reasons not to do things. That's all it is. Based in a fear of what the outcome will be like. Mainly what it'll mean about you. So give all that up and just do this one experiment.
Yeah, it's been a recurrent theme. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you have 7 days until next Joshua Live.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to tune in 7 days from now and see what happened with this experiment. No pressure. None.
I'll publish it all online.
Yes.
There you go.
Excellent. You can publish it in the Friends of Joshua Facebook.
Thanks.
All right. Is there anything else?
Hi, Joshua. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
How are you?
Excellent.
Good. I'm excellent as well. And I just wanted to kind of wanted to share what's been going on with me. So, you know, I told you a few weeks ago that I found an apartment and I'm moving in September 1st. So I had a lot of fear around telling my husband. I mean, I had imagined all these different scenarios and I was in a lot of fear, but I gave myself a deadline because I kind of wanted to just say what I needed to say. So I told him last Sunday. And it's really funny because, I expected to get silent treatment. And, he was processing his emotions, and he didn't talk to me for about 12 hours. But by the next day, we ended up having dinner together. And ever since then, everything has gone back to exactly how it was. It's like he's being so kind and sweet, and I'm feeling so much more
there's a little resistance around this one, isn't there?
Going in and out.
Technical resistance.
I really enjoyed the conversation with Jen and I don't know how anything's going to unfold. I don't know what'll happen at the end of the time that I have that. But I like the idea that I don't have to have a plan.
Right. You don't have to have a plan. You have the inspiration to change things up. And so you receive guidance in a form of a friend talking about an apartment. And you are led towards the idea of, what if I had my own apartment? What would that be like? And then that seemed a little bit interesting, a little bit exciting. And so you just took the next step. You looked at apartments. You looked at apartments. And then you found an apartment. And then you said, I'll take the apartment. And then you said, oh, now I'm going to have a conversation. And that was the next step. And so you had the conversation. And so the next step always leads to the next step. There's nothing you have to do other than maintain your alignment around it, how you're feeling, the fear that you're feeling at every single step along the way. And you just go through it and you manage your fear in the moment, getting as close to alignment, getting as high a perspective as you can in that moment. And then having faith that everything's working out perfectly. Not just for you, though, but for your son and your husband. Everything's they can't see it, maybe, but everything is working out perfectly for them. Otherwise, this wouldn't happen.
You know, I just feel like, in a way, my husband's pretending that I didn't say it, almost. Like, he's, you know, he's talking about future, our future, in a way that isn't the way I perceive my future. Like, he's wanting to, he's thinking about vacations we're going to have in the future and stuff like that. And I don't know, maybe we will go on vacation together as friends, but I don't, you know, it's sort of hard for me to separate myself from his vision of how things will be. I don't think, I mean, and part of me thinks, oh, should I remind him that I'm moving out? You know, like, I did tell him. I'm sure I told him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that he heard what I said.
Yeah.
But he's acting like I didn't say it.
You're not responsible for how he processes this. But you are responsible for imagining him happy. Imagining him meeting someone else. Imagining him traveling with someone who wants to be with him. Imagining him...
Okay.
All these things that he can't do with you that you're giving him the opportunity to do now. To live this life that's so less limited than it was in this marriage that had run its course. And certainly it seems like it's easier to get into a big fight and to hate each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an old approach based on your inability to manage these fears as they pop up. Because moving on to the next level in love allows you to do this whole transition to your next lives in a loving way, because you are eternally linked. You must know that you will be reunited again and be eternally tied to each other forever. This stage of relationship, you didn't know him when you were born. You met him along the way. You stayed together, you had a family and a child, you had experiences, and now you're on to something else, and you have the ability to see that, where he doesn't. He thinks it should be like this because he doesn't want to face his own fears. You're facing your fears. You're understanding things that he can't understand. You know you're taken care of. You know this is the next phase. You're inspired. He's not even allowing himself the inspiration. You're luckily for him, you're doing it for him. So he's going to go on and have another chapter. And he's going to meet somebody and do things and experience life in a more joyful way than he has been in the last 10 years, let's say.
Yeah.
So you're giving him a wonderful gift. He can't see it now, but he'll think back and say, that was really the best thing that ever happened.
And you know, his response, I like his response, because it's much easier to live under the same roof when someone's being kind. But when at the end of the 3 months I say to him that I've decided not to move back in, if indeed that's what I say, you know, then perhaps he will be different. And I guess that's what I didn't want. I didn't want to lose my best friend, quote unquote. But like you said, his reactions or his processes are his and not mine. And it'll be for me, I guess. I'll have to deal with, you know, the cold shoulder or even, you know, complete rejection or, you know, I don't know. I can imagine a lot of negative scenarios. But in any case, it's not now.
So what would you do with a child? Would you throw a child into the deep end of the pool, or would you spend some time in the shallow end, getting him used to the water, getting him used to the temperature, learning how to swim? If what you're doing now is you're taking him into the shallow end of the pool, and you're introducing him to a new environment with love, And yeah. you're there. Now, you could easily just throw him in the deep end, and he would still swim. But
yeah.
this allows you to maintain your relationship, allows you to, you know, move to your next level in love. It's how you mm-hmm. are. This is who you are. This you are a being of love. And this mm-hmm. totally represents who you are. Mm-hmm. It's not the easiest thing to do. There's much more fear in this than in a clean break where you would just move across the world. Right.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. That's why I think I debated it for such a long time, because we have such a nice life together. Mm. There are just certain things, as you know, that are deal breakers.
Yeah. And you want to have the time yourself to yeah. get up to vibrational speed with this idea of living on your own, paying for things on your own, being mm-hmm. possibly lonely, having yeah. to start over, things like that. Okay,
yeah.
that seems scary. It's not going to be scary. Yeah. It's all going to work out. Things are magically going to happen that you can't foresee. That's just how the universe is. Yeah. yeah. All you need to do is process your fear, whatever the fear is, in the moment, and there'll be no need for any bumps along the way.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Joshua, it's Isabel.
Hello, Isabel.
Hello. So I just wanted to make a comment for Astrid, because Astrid, I've compared myself to Gary channeling, and I've compared myself to Kimberly. And I just want to let you know, it seems common, because Kimberly compares herself to Pamela, and we kind of laugh, but I do know that your voice and your channeling is unique to you, and it's a beautiful perspective, and you're very elegant in channeling. And yes, I might channel and I might know the entity, because, you know, that's just who I am. Like, I'm like, who is this? Who is this? You know? And I get communicated in images, but you know, my voice is just different because I translate it different. And I just think I really admire your channeling, because I think you translate beautiful, and I compare myself to you, and I'm like, oh, Astrid is just so good at this. So I just want to tell you, I find it a little ironic.
Thank you. Thank you, Isabel.
You're welcome.
Isabel, you said the perfect amount of words right there.
Astrid, were you counting how many words I was saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. Well, good. Is there anyone else who has one more thing to talk about?
I'll go, Joshua.
Oh, there we go. How brave.
All right. Do I have a noisy background?
Of course you do. Quiet. We would do something else.
Oh, that's so not right. All right, they did that on purpose. Oh, that's not my dog. I do not have a dog. Anyway, so I had a question. I just wanted to talk about, oh, my God, can you hear all that noise?
No, not at all.
Okay. I'm running away. Oh, my God. So what did I want to say? So I had a question about talking with people and negative people. And lately I've been able to ask the question and get an answer, you know, just by myself. But I wanted to hopefully, you know, help at least one of the million people out of the six that are listening here today with my question about how can you – you know, when people come into your friends, good friends, family members that are negative and feel like a victim and talking about so much negativity, and you don't want to hear it, you know, just trying to practice changing the subject or leaving the room.
Why don't you want to hear it? Why don't you want to hear it?
For me, because it just feels negative. You don't want to be around negative people.
Is there such a thing as negativity? Is
yeah.
negativity a judgment?
Is it a judgment? Yes, it is a judgment.
Okay. So think about this. There is nothing inherently good in the universe. When a son is born in the universe, that's neither good nor bad. That's just what it is. When a son dies in the universe, that's neither good nor bad. That's just how it is. There is nothing good or bad. Everything is neutral. You get to judge it yourself. If you judge something as bad, well, you're saying that based on your beliefs, you choose to see this subject as negative, right? Rather than seeing it as positive. Now, could you possibly see a negative conversation as positive? Is there a way for you to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then, if you could see a conversation as positive rather than negative, well, then it's a positive conversation. So let's say that you have a friend who says, my boyfriend is not treating me well, and he's a real jerk, and all men are jerks, and I should be entitled to meet someone better or be treated better or whatever. How could you see that as a positive conversation?
That's my question to you.
Okay. How could you see that as a, okay, here's someone who's exploring reality. Here's someone who's exploring the dynamics of a relationship and how she feels in a relationship. This is a very interesting conversation. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. I can see from her perspective how she sees that she's not being treated well. Isn't that interesting? She doesn't realize that it's a reflection of how she's being, of her vibration. She's getting back exactly what she's putting out there. This is a very fascinating conversation. It may be negative to her, but that's not you, right? She can judge it as negative, but that's not you judging it as negative. You can judge that conversation positive by taking a higher perspective on it. You can judge everything as positive. You can judge, find a way to see everything as right. And that's the work that you're doing here. You're not saying, I need to change this conversation from my perspective in a way that is easier for me to swallow, easier for me to be around, right? I don't need to change who this person is. I don't need to fix this person. This person is validly exploring reality in a way that they're doing. That's perfect for them. So you see that if you go around saying that I have a higher perspective, I, Tracy, have a higher perspective, and everyone else has a lower perspective, then you automatically sink into the lower perspective. You automatically dip out of alignment. You automatically reduce your emotional level. If you say, every conversation is perfect, every person is perfect, every situation is perfect, everyone is getting a match to what they're putting out there, then you're going to, by default, by the law of attraction, get back more conversations that you believe are good, are positive, right? This is exactly how you operate in physical reality. You don't say, how do I get away from these people who are negative, who don't serve me anymore, who are now different than I am because I've come to this elevated place? You say, how do I see them as perfect? How do I see this? How do I find a way to see this conversation as positive? How do I reframe this entire situation in a way that's positive? Because in doing that, you will be inspired to say the words that will be of most benefit to her and to you at the same time. Mm-hmm. In seeing her conversation as negative and trying to change the conversation, you are saying, you are wrong and I am right. And in you, Tracy, believing she is wrong, you cut yourself from any positive inspiration that you can help her with. You just step back into negativity, step back into victimhood, saying, I'm surrounded by people who are talking negative. How did I attract that? No, you are not surrounded by people who are talking negative. You were just in a habit or now seeing things from a different point of view and judging them as negative.
Yes, that's so great.
Because you want to be empowering, and you can't be empowering when you see someone else as being negative. All you can be is judgmental.
Right.
All you can do is make them wrong for being how they're being.
Right. Release the judgment, which I have. I've done this with my one of my good friends. She can now come over and conversate with me and tell me about all her drama in her life. And I just sit there and I do. I sit there in amazement and like, wow, look at her, how she chooses to, you know, what the life that she chose here to experience.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Because you can do that with her. You can do that with someone who's had some difficulty. You can do that with your children. You can do that with news events. You can do that with the kids in Thailand who are trapped in a cave. You can find the way to see it from a higher perspective, because we will tell you this little secret right now.
Okay.
That every single thing that happens in physical reality is happening for the benefit of all involved. And the only way you could ever see it as something negative is by believing that there's something wrong with it or that it's bad. And that bad is always stirred up from fear. And the fear originates from a limiting belief. A limiting belief that somewhere out there, there could be something bad happening to you. Or you could do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You could say the wrong thing. You could drive the wrong way. There is no wrong. There is no wrong. Everything that comes to you is for you. Everything that comes to anyone else is for them. If you can see that, don't drive off right yet. We're right in the middle of this conversation.
No. I'm here. Did I go anywhere? No, that was fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we can't imagine more wonderful people to engage with in this ongoing, exhilarating conversation. The reaches of the universe that we're tapping into now as a direct result of the questions you're asking have never been reached for before. And we're able to bring forth little nuggets, little new things here that is exciting to us because we've never been able to reach there before. Because there's never been others like you who have asked these leading-edge questions in such a way that has inspired us to reach for more and more and more. And that's what we're here for. And that's what you're here for. You're here to reach for more, to be more, to do more, to lean in more, to control less, to be less limited, to drop limitations, and to go for anything you're inspired to go for. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Doctor.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.